strong introductory song to our scripture text here from the Gospel of Luke, and then from the first letter of John, chapter 5. Please turn with me to Luke chapter 12. The Gospel of Luke chapter 12. On page 1619. And then we'll also turn later to the gospel, or to the gospel writer John, but read 1 John 5. Beginning at verse 18, and that's on page 1904. So let's first find Luke. Luke chapter 12. We'll read together, or just you look, and I'll read to you at verse 54. It's a little bit about our picnic this morning, believe it or not. You'll sense it in a minute here. He said to the crowd, "When you see a cloud rising in the west, immediately you say, 'It's going to rain,' and it does. And when the south wind blows, you say, 'It's going to be hot,' and it is. Hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and the sky. How is it that you don't know how to interpret this present time?" This is absolutely not a commentary about those who planned the picnic for today. Just so that you know that. That was planned long before. So no one knew about the weather. But the weather factors large in our lives, doesn't it? I'll get to this John passage in a minute, but just think about the weather. A lot of us have the weather channel on our cable or on our... weather channel, you can look. You get your phone, you can check the weather for the next couple of weeks. Are you not amazed how accurate that is? It's rarely out. There's some radio station that I used to know about. I don't know if it's still doing or not, but they would have a contest. If they were out by a couple of degrees and you were in their contest, you could win prizes because you got the weather right when they didn't. The weather affected you like every day in my house. I'll just be truth about this. We want to hear the weather so that some of us will know what to wear. Do you have that? Come on. You can talk. You can think. Do you have that at your house? Yeah, okay. Just you can know the weather pretty accurately weeks in advance. In fact, they do projections about the seasons. We're soon going to get a projection about what the winter will be like. And quite often, they're right about that. And that's how we got into this passage, because it's been so hot. This past week, or was it the week before, we had this incredibly hot August. Was that this past week, Wednesday, when it got so crazy hot? Yeah. They predicted it. I want you to think about that, how well we know about the weather. Now let's go to 1 John chapter 5. And we'll read at verse 18, the last of this fifth chapter of the first letter of John, on page 1904. "We know that anyone born of God does not continue to sin. The one who was born of God keeps him safe, and the evil one cannot harm him. We know that we are children of God, that the whole world is under the control of the evil one. We know also that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, even his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. Dear children, keep yourselves from idols. My point will be not that the weather and our keeping track of it is an idol, even though I think we're trying to be aware of what's going on around us, and the weather is one way you can kind of have some control and some sense of that. But the truth is, of course, we are more like the people that Jesus addresses in Luke 12, who don't know the times they're in. We worry about the times we're in. We really do. I do. You do. You can't help it. The world is getting crazier, it seems. And you wonder sometimes who's in charge. And these two passages have something to say about that. First of all, let's see who Jesus addresses in Luke 12. If you see that in verse 54, you'll see. He said to the crowd. So he's talking to the crowd of people. And then secondly, in verse 56, he addresses them as hypocrites. Now, the word hypocrite in Hebrew language is different than the word hypocrite in Greek language. In the Greek language, a hypocrite is someone who acts, but isn't true to that person. It's an act. That's not the hypocrisy Jesus is referring to here in Luke 12, say biblical scholars. 56, the hypocrites here in verse 56 has to do with people who are godless. He's saying to people, godless ones, you know about the weather, but you don't know the times. It's an important distinction because of what we're going to do later on with the little letter of John. Jesus spoke out to people who were leaders and who were in control of people there. They discerned like we do the weather. They were less sophisticated about it. We go weeks in advance. We know the temperatures. But they had a sense. These are people close to the earth. They understood seasons and weathers and weather systems. He was not against using intelligence to figure out nature. That's not the point here. He wasn't against people knowing the weather. In fact, the creation is made by God. It involves the weather. He was against the hypocrisy of people who knew deeply how well the earth worked, but had no sense of their own times, how people work, how if there was a God and how he behaves in it. They kept God out of life, is his point. They kept God out of life. Did you find yourself in the text this morning already in Luke 12? Do you think you're hypocritical because you know about the weather, but you don't know about your times? I say to you this morning, don't do that to yourselves. That's not what this is about. This is an ancient text of Jesus referring to his generation of people who is why he actually came, to bring to people godliness. That's the crucial point here. If you look at the whole chapter 12 of Luke, you'll sense that. There's such comfort in saying, dear children, don't worry about anything because your heavenly Father knows what you need, and he'll give you more than you need if your hearts are inclined to him. He just asks us to be watchful in Luke chapter 12, watchful of the times, because if you're a child of God, you will do that. You'll be aware of some things. So even when the disciples asked him, well, why are you talking us this way? Then he says to them that, be careful. He's come not to make life sweet and simple for everybody, but to be honest about the times that he's coming. He's coming to do some serious work. It will not be good for people who are against God, is the point of chapter 12. Verse 49, for instance, says, I've come to bring fire on earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. And then verse 50, But I have a baptism to undergo, and how distressed I am until it is completed. Do you think I've come to bring peace on earth? No, I tell you, I've come to bring division. These are not easy words. But in the context of the whole of Jesus' coming, in the context of all of God's kingdom, they make sense. So then when he addresses people in Luke 12, at 54 and 56, he's just simply saying to them, you think you know the weather well? Well, let me tell you, you godless ones, you don't know your times. And in some ways, we could speak to the world that's in that same way. We who have all kinds of technology to tell us about the climate. Climate change is destructive ways. It's getting hotter, is the title of my sermon this morning. It's getting hotter, and it is, and we all know it. The last couple of Julys have been record Julys, and August, too, will be coming as the hottest August on when people have kept records. It'll be coming as the hottest August. And it looks like September is doing some of the same kind of stuff. And you know that climate change and what it's bringing to us is not good. And it is getting hotter in other ways, too. If you think about what the times are like, politically and otherwise, economically, we all have these fears and these doubts and these tensions and this anxiety in our heads and our hearts. If you keep up with the news in any way, shape, or form, these are not easy times. And you wonder, where are people's sense of order and justice and kindness? It looks like a lot of judgment is happening. It looks like Jesus' divisiveness, that he came because of evil, is indeed there. But I want to tell you now specifically about this passage from John, because you've come here this morning not to be reminded by me or anyone that it's getting hotter. You've not come because of our weather predictions. In fact, good on you. You probably knew that the weather wasn't going to be great, and you still came for our picnic, and we're glad you did. You've come because we want the gospel. We want hope. We want to know how to live in our times. We want to know if we can discern our times. And so the little letter of John is to speak to the godly ones in particular. Let's do from the Gospel of John what Jesus hoped for in Luke chapter 12 when he made his talk to the crowds. When you say, you don't know your times. And I say to you here in 2018, on September the 9th, I think you do know your times. Why? Because of who you are in Christ. Read this with me, or look at me again. It says, this is, you know at least four things here. Four things that you do know that the godless ones do not know. We know that anyone born of God does not continue to sin. The one who was born of God keeps him safe, and the evil one cannot harm him. Secondly, we know that we are children of God, that the whole world is under control of the evil one. We'll talk about it in a minute, but anyway, we know we're children of God. We know also that the Son of God has come and given us understanding so that we may know him who is true. At least four angles, four things of what we know. We are not the ones who know the weather and not our times. I think you do know the times well enough to be confident this morning again that you are in grace, that you are not to be so fearful or so anxious. We'll start with that first complex line from verse 18. We know that anyone born of God does not continue to sin. And you say, wait a minute, what's that about? Because I'm a Christian and I still sin. I believe in God and I want God to be in me, but I still sin. Is that how that hits you? Be careful with language here. This is why it's important to understand text and language of text, which has to do with the Greek language, because the word does not continue to sin is crucial. What the Gospel of John is saying, sure, you are sinners. That if you look at the very first chapter of that same letter, and you can do that with me. We have time for a little Bible study this morning, don't we? We have time, don't we? Because we're having a picnic, so let's just go to chapter 1 for a minute. Look at verse 8 of 1 John 1. Okay, look at verse 8 of 1 John 1. Are you with me? It says this: if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. So obviously, all of us have sin. The joy is that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. And this is so crucial. It says, my dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin, but if anyone does sin, chapter 2, we have one who speaks to the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. So the problem is not you're a Christian and you should never be sinning, which would be a great thing to have, but we do sin as Christians too. But the Gospel of John's language is that you don't continue in sin. It's not the thing you've given your life to. You regret sinning. You ask for forgiveness. You have a guilty conscience about it. It never makes you feel right to be a sinning person. That's the point here. Those who belong to Jesus Christ are his little children, often failing little children, and they do sin, but they don't do it so glibly. Not like some of the people, the godless people in the world, who sin rather bravely. And we're getting a startling example of that all the time these days with that man who leads the government south of us. They say in the documents this week that he has no morality, he has no moral compass. That's obviously an easy, low-hanging fruit person for me to go to, but that's the problem with the world. The godless world has no allegiance to God, and consequently, it sins with abandon. And that's how you get racism and violence and bigotry, and from the horrors that happen, where the rich can watch the poor starve, but they want to be richer. Where, the history of Nazi death camps, or you name it, today's slaughters that are going on, that people continue in sin because that's what they know. But 1 John 5 says, if you've been born of God, you don't do that as a lifestyle or as a thing you enjoy or a thing you're after. So we are sinners, but we are sinners in the redemption of God. The second thing he says, we know that we are children of God, and the whole world is under the control of the evil one. Isn't that a discouraging line? You sang that, you led us this morning in that song. We sing the mighty power of God. Great words. This makes no sense if you quickly just read the glib English here. But again, in the Greek language, this is far more understandable. We know we're the children of God, and that the whole world is under the control of the evil one. The word for control here is not the way you might think, that it's controlled by the devil all completely, that the cause of good is lost. No, it simply means that this is the word for inclined. Katai is the Greek word. And katai is an unusual word. It's used only when people eat, like in the old days. They would recline to eat. They would katai to have food together. They would rest together and eat. They would lean to the table to eat. And so this passage is saying, the whole world leans to the devil, reclines into evil. It's not that the devil controls it so much, it's that the world is inclined to evil. This is an important distinction to make, because if you thought that the whole world's under control of the evil one, then just out, quick. Then design religions that you get out of this world real fast. But the psalmist says, the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness there. He is the creator, he's the sustainer, the maker. We don't give in so easily. We don't agree that the world is in the control of the devil, and neither does Jesus. He said, all things have been made for him, through him, by him. So the language that's so crucial to understand here, and I'm always a little sorry because I checked other translations and they don't get it quite right. But the word kata, if you looked it up in more studious ways, you'll sense it's a word that doesn't mean control. It means to lean into, to be in the lap of, to recline, to rest in the evil one. And isn't that true to our experience, that the world sort of is easy with evil? It rests in evil. It glorifies it. But it does not mean the devil's in control. People, hang on to that. Hang on to that in your thoughts, in your anxieties, in your dark nights, in your troubles. Hang on to that truth, that the world is not in control, not controlled by the devil. But we look at verse 20. Because the third thing we know that the Son of God has come and given us understanding. See? That's what you can know. You can know God is in charge. He is in control. And things, though tough, will be all right. Because of what we know further. And it says, we are in him who is true, even his Son, Jesus Christ. He is our true God and eternal life. And in this little gospel of John, a little letter of John, you get some very interesting things happening. Look at this. Read carefully with me here. Verse 20. We know also that the Son of God has come and given us understanding so that we may know him who is true. And we may know and we are in him who is true. So remember Jesus' words about himself? I am the way, the life, and the truth. The truth is Jesus, is God himself. And then it says, even his Son, he is a true God and eternal life. The claim here is that Jesus Christ is true God and eternal life. It's mystery. It's strong language. It's deep language. The writer of these little letters is not talking thinly or simplistically here. He's engaging you in a faith understanding of the world, that it isn't controlled by the devil, but though it leans that way, it lies in the lap of the devil, if you will. But you have understanding. You are not of the hypocrites that Jesus spoke about in chapter 12 of Luke. You know the weather, but you don't know the times. I say to you in this church this morning, you do know the times because you know Jesus Christ. Because you belong to him. And when, in a little while, we're going to... He makes that so graphic for us, doesn't it? The mystery language of eat this bread and drink this wine. Eat this bread and this juice that represents his body that is so strongly put liturgically that it says, this is my body. We are fed this mystery Jesus who is true God. Do you get the sense of what you're after as a Christian person? This is not something to get you out of this world or get you thinking in a pious way and that you just are world deniers. On the contrary, this world belongs to God. It's made through, for, by Jesus alone, the King of all creation, the one who holds us. And all things will go to him, says Paul. They will all be his. And he's on his way. However tough that is to see, and it is tough to see. Believe me, I have, like you, struggled with that. It doesn't seem like, it seems in fact that the world is controlled by the devil. That's how negative you can get. So you got to hang on to your faith, to what you really believe, which is that we know we are children of God. We know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding. We know him to be true and that he is true God and eternal life. This is what we hang on to. This is how we live in our world. This, even though that it's getting hotter, I'm talking about the climate and people's disregard for God. The godliness will get hotter. I'm not trying to say that in a negative doomsday kind of way, but that's the truth of it. But we know, we have an understanding, that we're God's children, and that he has come to give us himself and life eternal. And just so that you get that little verse at the end, dear children, keep yourselves from idols. The gospel, the writer of this letter knew that that practically then, all of this, the belief that we have, this knowing that we have, is to make certain we keep our noses pressed to the time so that we are weary, understanding that idol worship is in all of our view. We have potential for all of it all the time. Be careful about what you worship, is the point. May God bless us today in this great truth, that though we know the weather well, we also know the Son of God. We're known by him, and it is given us. That's what it says. It's given us to understand, and it's given us to be his children. Let's pray. Oh God, we are fearful people at times. We get negative and dreary about the world and its currents and its waves of opposition to you. We watch the world's idolatry, and it frightens us. All that it does in terms of destroying people and lives and your good creation. And it can overwhelm us to say, well, then the devil is in charge. The evil one has got it all, and there's no hope. Oh, mighty God, today come with your bread and juice to represent the body of Christ. Come today with this word. Come with our worship and our songs. And brighten our hearts and our outlook. Tell us again, Lord, what we already know, what we can understand to some degree, because it's greatly mysterious. Tell us what we know, that Jesus Christ has made us your sons and daughters forever. He's our brother, and we're your children forever. Oh, mighty God, help us to know that he who was born of God, our Lord Jesus, whom we celebrate in word and song and deed and sacrament today, that he keeps us safe. He keeps us from the harm of the evil one, finally. Help us to know again, Lord, all this week long, when we think about the world's troubles and our anxieties and our fears and our doubts and our worries, that we are your children. In Jesus' name, amen.